support of this resolution to purchase as a joint purchase for Parks and PDC. We are in an area that, as you know, has been rapidly developing, and we have some, but not enough, I believe, amenities. One of the reasons that the neighbors in that particular area agreed to accept the urban renewal designation was that they would get some sort of public communal open space. In past, the original property that we're considering was very small, and there was some discussion about what can and cannot be done on it. With the addition of the extra piece, you have a four-acre site that will be much more viable for providing communal open space in the form of either a recreational park or an urban plaza, as well as being able to develop more storefront along Halsey Street, which we desperately need. The other thing is, and I think it's a key note for those of us who have the Lens Urban Renewal District and Gateway have struggled for many years. And we have some developments that are happening, but in these economic times, a lot of people have held off putting a development forward. And we hope that this will spur the proposition that this is an area worth considering. And for those of you who have, I testified before on this, this property has been up for sale about every 2.5 years. And for whatever reason, we have never gotten this far. And I really urge that as an amenity for the Gateway Urban Renewal District and as a vote to the citizens to say, yeah, we support your idea, I ask that you as a group support this purchase. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is that it?
That's all.
Is there anyone here who wishes to testify to this specific issue? It's an emergency. Call the vote.
Fish?
Well, I want to thank the Portland Parks and also PDC for their good work here and for getting the second appraisal and moving expeditiously. Gateway is a park deficient area. The community has spoken very loudly about the need for this park, and I'm delighted to vote aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I'm really pleased that we're moving ahead today and purchasing this property that will add significantly to open space in the Gateway area. I want to thank both Steve and Justin for their work on this, and pleased to see it move forward. Aye.
Potter.
Hooray for Gateway. Aye.
Thank you, everybody.
We'll go back to item 1714.
Authorize intergovernmental agreements with local governments to accept funding for the Green Development Resource Center to be housed in the Office of Sustainable Development.
Second reading, call the vote.
Fish.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Potter.
Aye. Please read item 1715.
Accept the Cully Park Master Plan as a guide for future development and management of the park.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Mayor. It's indeed a pleasure to bring this item to Council for approval. Adoption of the Cully Park Master Plan is an important step to help address a longstanding park deficiency, one I know that all Council members are aware of in the Cully neighborhood. And a special thank you to Mayor Potter for requesting and championing the funding of the master planning process. This master plan that will be presented to you proposes a variety of recreational facilities that will serve both the city and the local neighborhood for generations to come. This is a former construction debris landfill, so some serious constraints do exist as to what we can actually put on this site and build on those property. But many parks and even entire neighborhoods have been built on similar types of lands, so safety and feasibility is really not a question. The planning process included a citizens committee. The open houses were characterized by a broad diversity of neighborhood interests. We'll hear more about this in a short presentation from David Yamashita from Portland Parks, who will walk us through this. And then I think following David's presentation, we have some members of the committee who are going to also make some remarks.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm Brett Horner, the planning manager for Portland Parks and Recreation. And we're happy to have this plan before you today. As it is, and as you all know, a very area of the city that really needs a park. So we thank you for funding the work on this. It's been done, and we have a presentation for you. Again, David Yamashita will take us through that presentation, and we'll take your questions after that.
Right. Thank you, Brett. I'm Dave Yamashita. I'm a planner for Portland Parks and Recreation, and I'd like to take a few minutes to describe the project, our process, and the concepts that emerged out of the process. And following the presentation, I'd like to have comments. We are going to have comments from some of the committee members who could make it today, as well as comments from two City of Portland staff people who worked with us on the project as well. As I think Commissioner Saltzman referenced, the project really got its start in late 2006 when Mayor Potter, in response to questions from the Cully Association of Neighbors, appropriated $95,000 for a master plan. So thank you very much for doing this. This is something we'd wanted to do for a long time. With this money, we were able to retain a consultant, and Paula Grimace is here from Vigila Grimace to answer questions. And we also worked with a 10-person citizen advisory group. All right, so we need to get this. So our consultant team, we worked also with the Bureau of Environmental Services, Vigila Grimace, J.D. White, which did public involvement, Geo Design, a technical soil consulting firm, soil geotechnical consulting firm, and Falcone Consulting, which dealt with traffic issues. These are the members of the project advisory group, and you can see they're pretty diverse, and I want to first acknowledge the hard work that they put in, because many of these people either were already citizen activists and were involved in things, had jobs that took them, required that they work at night, and we had a single mom as well, or not a single mom, but a mother with kids who also took the time to participate in the group. And I'd like to go over the project goals. And it's at this point, they're pretty general. What we have is a general concept for the site. It's not a detailed plan. What we are after is a plan that determined what uses can be accommodated on the site and where they could be located. We also wanted to look at how the site could meet both neighborhood needs, because the whole area is park deficient, as well as citywide needs, which many of you are aware of. And then we also wanted to identify order of magnitude costs. This is a very difficult site because it's a former landfill and there are a lot of unknowns. As an introduction, this is about a 25-acre site. It's a former landfill that closed in 1991, and the city acquired it in 2002. You'll notice that there's Northeast Killingsworth is to the south, which provides the main access. There's a rail line and Northeast Columbia Boulevard to the north as well. The area includes a variety of both single-family, but also a lot of multifamily housing, which for us generates a lot of need for recreational facilities. This is the site. Again, 25 acres. And you can see that, I think on another slide, you'll see some of the monitoring wells. It's bordered to the south, as I said, by Northeast Killingsworth. Very busy street. It's also accessed, or it's possible to access the site in the future, perhaps, from Northeast 72nd Avenue, which is what you see here. Tree-lined street with some single-family houses on it. It's also accessed right now through Northeast 75th, which is, you can see a gate at the end of the street. We're looking towards the site, looking north. The little photograph in the inset is on the site looking south. And once you get on the site, it's a pretty dramatic view. This is really, it's truly one of the more unusual sites that we have. When you get to the top, you have these wonderful and expansive views of the trees along the Columbia River floodplain. You don't really see a lot of buildings. And so I think everybody was excited about what could happen here at the site when it's fully built out. It'll truly be a great place for recreation. To the site, along the site, I'll start from the upper left. This is a steel yard or a site that's used for the storage of materials. To the west, then to the right, you can see some of the slopes and the rail yard off to the left. And across the trains that you see, or the rail cars, is the Colwood Golf Course. Then the bottom right is a photograph of some of the a trailer park that's right next to the park site on the south. And the lower left is another photograph of the slope conditions along the south of the park. There's also an extensive system to collect methane and to burn it. And so the yellow lines indicate the general locations of the system. There's also a photograph in the inset of the methane burner. This is where the methane that's collected is burned. We had a pretty extensive public involvement process, and I'd like to commend the consultant team for really reaching out and attracting people that we don't often see at our community meetings. So this is the first workshop that we had in the fall of 2007. It was held at a local church. You can see Paul in the upper right and Casey Cooper, who was our public involvement person, next to him. The inset photograph also shows a newsletter that we published in both English and Spanish as well. So these are some photographs of the public workshop. We not only attracted a wide variety of people, but also young people as well. These kids are really great, and they really got involved in drawing up ideas. I'd like to quickly run through some of the guiding principles that you'll see in the plan. And these are the first three. These are not by means the only ones. But again, to develop the park to serve neighborhood, recreation, and citywide needs, to maintain and integrate the site's landfill operational facilities into the park's development, and to establish partnerships as a key strategy in the park's management, operations, programs, and improvement. We also, as a guiding principle, stated that we wanted safer connections between adjacent residential areas and the park. Access into the site is difficult right now, and so we're going to have to deal with crossing Northeast Killingsworth to get into the site when it is developed. One of the main organizing principles in the concept was to maintain a central open space in the middle of the park and locate parking areas off around the edge. So you had this really nice open space where you didn't have cars. Another principle, we also wanted to provide recreational facilities that encourage the use throughout the year and throughout the day. So we know, for example, that off-leash areas tend to be used quite often early in the morning and at night and throughout the year as well. So we have an off-leash area. Soccer also can be played almost year-round under the right conditions. And we have walking trails that you see, the dashed lines. Walking, again, like off-leash areas, are one of those things that people do throughout the year at different times of the day. We also wanted to create a system of pedestrian trails throughout the park because we know that from our surveys that walking for recreation and for exercise is one of the most popular activities in the city and really throughout the nation. Again, as I had mentioned, we wanted to locate parking areas on the outside of the site to minimize conflicts with pedestrian circulation and minimize impacts on adjacent residential areas. And so what we ended up with are two options, and they're very similar. The main difference is where we bring access into the site. So in option one, what you see are a big soccer field, little soccer field, baseball field, softball field, off-leash area, play area, two picnic shelters, and two parking areas. And these are, again, very diagrammatic. At this point, This is all we could do, is to look at what could be located on the site and to ensure that they could fit. And then in option two, the recommendation is to acquire frontage along Northeast Killingsworth, because right now you don't have any frontage along the street. If you're driving along Killingsworth, it's difficult to know that there's a park behind other businesses. So at some point, and this is truly an aspirational goal, it would be nice to acquire some frontage. And if we did that, we could, as an example, as we showed here, provide access that works a little bit better for the park. And that's option two. But again, essentially very similar in concept. And I just wanted to close by reading something from the plan, the vision statement. When Kelly Park is developed, it will embody the city's commitment to restoring a landscape that was altered beyond recognition. Where it once served as a repository for refuse, the park will instead provide opportunities for people to grow and to thrive. So thank you. And I'd like to, if you have any questions, have Paul answer any technical questions. We also have a technical staff from BES and Metro as well.
I had a question about the sequencing of how different elements come into the park. When I was out there looking at that piece of property with the parks director and some of the community, they said that we wouldn't be able to build a heavy building on it for probably another 10 years. But it didn't preclude things such as baseball diamonds and soccer fields. So I'm curious about sort of first things first is what's going to go in first, because probably the largest need in that community is for a soccer field and for baseball. And so I couldn't see the sequencing in here, and I just wondering how that's going to occur and how soon would that be then open to the Cully neighborhood.
Okay, well, let me answer the last question first. Right now we don't have any funding identified for it. It would likely be a variety of things. Maybe SDC money, grants, donations, partnerships, maybe a bond measure. In terms of sequencing, Mayor, what we've thought about is that we'd have to bring in fill. Well, first we'd have to do detailed engineering studies, and then we'd have to bring in fill, because right now there's just a cap of about, I think, 18 inches or 24 inches. And as you see in the plan, there are some areas that need a lot more fill. And once that was done, I think then we could begin the development of things like a soccer field. And with respect to the buildings, I'll let Paul answer that one.
Yeah, and I'll start by saying that I'm not a geotechnical engineer, but from our team, we're proposing to place about 50,000 cubic yards as a surcharge to help accelerate the settlement that's going to occur. There's no good way at this point to predict how much future settlement will occur, because we don't really know how much has occurred so far. There's variable materials within the old landfill, and some of those settle faster and some settle slower. The idea of the surcharge is to spread that weight and accelerate that settlement so that it would make it easier to install buildings sooner than later. And that's going to require some detailed geotechnical investigation at the front end of the design phase to really give you a better time frame of when buildings could go in. But fields could go in very soon after, you know, a year to two after the surcharge was placed.
Other questions?
I have a few. Do options one and two, where you've penciled in a community gathering place, do they anticipate restrooms?
Yes.
Okay. There's a project quite similar to this in Salem, where they took an area that was sort of like, I think it was a dump, and they capped it and they built soccer fields. Are you familiar with that?
Is that Minto Brown, or is that another site that you're thinking of?
It might be. I don't remember the name, but it's used now quite a lot for soccer. It's set up for soccer fields, and the principal challenge they've had is irrigation. If it rains, it becomes flooded very quickly, and they didn't somehow when they did the design, they didn't really figure out how to do the drainage issues. And I don't know whether that is a general problem in these kinds of adaptive uses or not, but it is the principal Achilles heel of a similar project in Salem.
Yeah, I don't know that one specifically, Commissioner, but as we show in the master plan in the appendix, there are many other examples of parks that have been built on landfills such as this, and maybe over 100, certainly over 100. But that would be one of the things that we would look at specifically for this site, because right now there's not much soil on it. But it's a design problem, essentially. And it's something that we would certainly address when we're doing this.
In your cost estimates that you've attached to option one and two, on the sports fields and the courts, you've put an estimate of 2.4 to 3.3 million. Are you assuming artificial surfaces?
Yes.
So this would be state-of-the-art turf on the soccer fields, for example?
That would be the intention. Now, I should say, too, the option is if the money isn't there, that we would then resort to some other material. And so that, for now, that's what we've put in as and assumed.
I mean, two examples. The challenge we have in Delta Park is that we have grass fields. They get a lot of use, and by late fall, they're not in great shape. By contrast, when you for kids that are fortunate enough to have a synthetic field like that's at Lincoln and Walsh Field or Cleveland or some other places, I mean, those are year-round fields. Are you satisfied that the technology is such on synthetic fields that there are no enhanced safety risks to children?
I'm really not the one to answer that one. Maybe we have Andre Ashley from our sports office who could answer that one.
I don't want to get ahead of us in
sure.
terms of planning, but it's a concern that is sometimes raised in the neighborhoods. As a parent of a soccer player, I have my own opinion, but it's not based on the science. It's based on what I've observed.
Right.
And my own personal view is that an even field that's maintained year-round is safer than the fields that are grass that are in poor condition where there's ruts and other opportunities for kids to get injured more easily. When you talk about partnerships, I mean, it's a word we often use when
sure.
we don't have the money to do something.
Right.
So I'm just curious, what kinds of partnerships are you contemplating? Are there any that have been discussed, or is there a particular partnership that you think would be well-suited to this location?
Well, the one that comes to mind most easily, Commissioner, is when we think about the baseball field, baseball, softball fields, Major League Baseball has a program to develop fields in the inner cities, so that's one specific one. The community garden certainly can be built with all kinds of organizations. I think one of the biggest ones, though, would be because the site is built on a landfill, it's such an exciting idea that I think we could go after money from other maybe federal agencies or other innovative foundations that are I think really excited about the idea of essentially restoring a damaged landscape and creating a sustainable landscape in its place. I think BES would be interested in when we've talked about doing innovative stormwater management in the parking lots. And that's certainly something that I would hope BES would help us on.
Well, they've got their gray to green. This could be sort of brown to green. And two just other quick comments. In either option one or option two, it does look like we have a lot of parking we're putting on the site. And maybe this is what the community wants, or maybe this is our experience that you need this kind. But I would hope there's a way to encourage access to this park that isn't as heavily automobile dependent.
And let me respond to that by saying, I mean, it does look like a lot of parking, but we did the math. There's a formula that you use to calculate how many people are going to come to a game, and then you essentially double it because you've got the next group of people coming for the next game. So that's essentially how we arrived at the relative size of these parking lots. It wasn't... it was done in a rather scientific and accepted way.
Just if I could, one other question about methane,
sure.
because I have some experience with this issue, having worked on the Housing Authority Board. thank you, Mayor. There's methane gas that can be captured out at the New Columbia, and there was some thought given to processing the gas for commercial use. Does the presence of methane gas at a site like this present any health risks to people who use the park?
Well, the short answer is no, but I'll let Paul elaborate on that.
Right. As far as we know, it shouldn't. The park is monitored currently for methane and migration offsite. There are a number of procedures that could be installed to prevent the buildup of methane that might leak through the liner. There'd be sub-slab vents. Buildings would be vented to make sure that, you know, gases didn't build up. So the risk is there, but it's very, very minute. It's a very small risk.
And with the indulgence of my colleagues, I guess the last question I would have is, given the location and the fact that it backs up against Columbia Boulevard and the boundary lines which you've described to us, has the community requested that we build in lighting so that it can be used in the early evening hours? And yes or no? And are there any particular land use issues or permitting issues which would be implicated if that was considered as part of the plan?
The short answer is yes to the first question. And the answer to the second question is we'd need a conditional use permit, conditional land use master plan.
And so, for example, while I know that we have some friends in Grant Park that have concerns about lighting on that field, and there are folks who live across the street, I'm looking at the map of Cully Park, and under either option, there are locations within the park that are not adjacent to any residential
right.
dwellings. So it would present a different level of,
right.
of community
impact. There's also some very advanced new lighting systems from Musco that use a lot of filters and things that really direct the light better than the older systems that we have in place right now, like at Grant Park. So,
well, thank you for your good work. It's an exciting vision.
Okay. So I'd like to...
We have some public...
Yes. Well, we do have committee members here. So I think we had a list, and I think Virginia was...
Okay, they signed up.
Okay. They're not...
Virginia Salinas, Danita Fry, and Jeff Lay.
Thanks for being here, folks. State your name when you speak. You each have 3 minutes.
Good morning, City Council. My name is Virginia Salinas, and I'm a program development specialist with Multnomah County. I'm here today to for you to support the current progress of the Cully Park Master Plan. And the needs in the community of the Cully neighborhood. I've worked for Multnomah County for the last 12 years, but prior to my employment there, I've worked in that community for almost 20 years, I believe, when you were chief of police. And I worked at the American Red Cross. But one of the things that I'm here to say is that there, not only is this close to my, and dear to my heart, but it also is something that is so needed for the community. Many of the families that live in that neighborhood, as you have heard today, are very diverse. Many speak different languages. Many have no access to parks or recreation. In order to get to a recreation center, they have to take a bus there, and many of the kids cannot get there without parent supervision. So oftentimes, it is an area that is deficient with, as Dave mentioned, for a park. And kids in that neighborhood just love soccer. As I work in the Baltasar Ortiz Family Center, which is a county building, and as you look out my window, I can see the kids playing soccer in the parking lot, which is not a safe situation for children. Not only that, but they're playing basketball in the parking lot. There are the basketball courts sometimes are the hoop has fallen off, and it's, you know, surrounded. It's an area that is surrounded by gangs, prostitution, a lot of drug exchange that goes on. Sometimes we have found syringes on the parking lot. So these kids really need a place to play, to kind of let themselves come out and openly feel free to run wild. We have a lot of diverse families that live in that neighborhood, Somalis, Asians, Hispanic, and many who speak, as I mentioned, many languages, and oftentimes are lacking a lot of access to resources. And This would be a really big thing for the families because you're talking a state-of-the-art park, which I feel is so deserving of the families in that neighborhood. And so I'm here to ask for you to continue to support the current progress of the master plan. Thank you.
And good morning again. My name is Donita Fry, and I not only live and work in the Cawley neighborhood and had the opportunity to participate on this advisory committee, I also have ancestral ties to this area. The whole corridor along the Columbia River area there is well documented as having indigenous culture present there, and I would like to see recognition of this culture incorporated in areas like the opportunity that this park presents. Again, I have also participated in the discussion groups with the Cawley Concordia planning discussion groups, and there's been an awareness of the diversity of our community there and the need for places for the kids to play. And I would like to remark that keeping in mind when allocating dollars for this neighborhood and our city as a whole to recognize an access of potential around this park, one of the things that I remember about sitting in the advisory committee that was that we were asked to think outside of the box and take a look at this area years down the road when this park would actually be being built and look at the diversity of that area and what is currently there and think about the thoughts of what could potentially be there. And with the existence of the Clara Vista and Norris T Center, the opportunity to provide learning space and playing space for our families seemed very essential to me. And so I want to thank you for your allocation of dollars to begin this work and ask for your continued support of this opportunity as well. And also to recognize that making available this park in the Cawley area does not still speak to all of the park deficiencies in that area as well. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Jeff Lee, representative of Lakeside Little League, and also a member of this committee here. This is an exciting park. It's an intriguing idea, and I look forward to seeing it built. However, as a representative of Lakeside Little League, being a former president, coach, and parent of many kids coming through there, one of the things that the Little League is concerned about is that several members on this board are of the idea that this park is going to replace two of the ball fields down at Lakeside Little League, mainly in the Whitaker Ponds area. We have a 90-foot baseball path for our 13 through 16, 18-year-old kids that play on that, and then we have what's known as Falbo Field, our stadium field down in the lower park, which is a Little League softball field, 60-foot baseball path with a scoreboard and fence and whatnot. Several of the members are of the idea that once this park gets built, they will move us from that location to this location. And I would just like to put in your mind the idea that if we were to take this beautiful building you work in and take this chambers and say, okay, we have a location across city where we're built an exact replica of this building for you, and you can have your meetings over there and whatnot. Granted, you only spend a few hours a week in this portion of your building. But by dividing you up and taking you to a different location, even though it's exact replica and of, you know, state-of-the-art facilities, it does not enhance the ability of you to do your work here in the city hall. You would have everything you need, but having to take all your stuff and pack it across town would be a problem. The major portion of the Little League at Lakeside is done on the Falbo Field and on Big League field in the back. That's where most of the games are played. We play with Little Leagues throughout the city of Portland and Scappoose, St. Helens, Claskeny, all come to our park and have tournaments here and activities. One of the things that we do in a Little League is fundraising. And a big part of that fundraising happens in the concession stands we have on our facilities where we can bring in the food and everything. And that's over a third of the money we raise. In a location like this, there's the thought of having a concession stand, but also having to share that with other groups that come in. You would have the logistics headaches of having to move that equipment and store it separately and everything else that goes along with that, where we have that existing facilities where the kids are able to come, work the concession stand, that they have equipment at their access so the coaches can work the field. Obviously, if we have artificial fields, you know, that's not as much as of a problem. But it takes away from the feeling and the atmosphere of a little league to move them there. We're in support of this field and this park in general, the idea. But the idea that this is going to be a replacement for the fields that are existing and have been there for over 50 years is rubbing the little league and the community of baseball in Northeast Portland, you know, the wrong way. Thank you.
Thank you, folks.
Next three are Gene Han, Hongsa Chen Thay Vong, and Rich Gunderson.
How many do we have total?
Two more left. He left.
Hongsa's here.
Okay. How about Curtis Valbo then?
Down to two.
Read the last name.
Curtis. Oh, here he comes.
Thank you for being here, folks. State your name when you speak. You each have 3 minutes. Anyone can begin.
My name is Curtis Falvel. I'm a longtime resident of Colley neighborhood. First of all, I'd like to thank David Yamashita. I know he's put a lot of effort into this, and especially the residents of Colley neighborhood. They've worked a long time on this. Where I have a problem with it is, you know, we pit, you know, neighbors against each other on this thing. This Lakeside Little League thing, you know, my father he's the Falbel with Falbel Field, and we have a lot of history there. I don't know if anybody from the council has been down there to see that, our field. You know, at one of the hearings we had, Commissioner Saltzman had stated that until we find something that's equal or better, you know, we will stay in our current location, and I believe that to be true still. I personally support having a new park in our neighborhood. We are parks deficient. Everybody knows that. I think one thing that is really important to be noted, population with children is cyclical. As an example, Hollywood Little League and Wilshire Little League, their numbers are way up right now because there's just boom of young children. You go into a grocery store right now, and all you see is babies. So we have five fields right now. There's two fields there, and you know that's great. I think one positive sign that we've seen is Colwood Golf Course. That would be a suitable relocation, in our opinion. And we applaud the fact that it looks like it will stay as an open space. We're hoping. I read that it's up for appeal, but if we can keep that open space, that would be terrific. But I guess if nothing else, for the record, we as a little league or as an organization, volunteer organization, we just don't feel that the landfill site is a suitable relocation for the ball fields. Thanks.
Thank you.
My name is Jean Hand. I'm the executive director of Portland Youth Soccer. Commissioner Fish, I was able to give David the name of the place you were mentioning in Salem. It's called the Cascade FC Complex, and the address of that so they can follow up with that as well. This has been a wonderful experience for me to be able to sit on this council group or this study group, and I've learned five things that I want to share with you. First of which is just a reiteration of things that everybody has shared with you, is that this is definitely a diverse cultural neighborhood. Secondly, they have a strong sense of community value. And this park will help to strengthen those ties of community. And athletically, it'll provide for all cultures and all ages. The park's facility is definitely needed. It's definitely desired in this community. And the last point I wanted to make is this. Portland Park's goals have been to develop multi-use athletic facilities, and soccer is extremely valuable to all ages, youth through adults, as well as all cultures. Soccer provides the foundational health benefits for our children, which includes developing a sense of community as they first begin when they're young on teams, social skills, fitness, And another point is that no child is ever, for any reason, turned away from being able to participate in soccer. I love this proposal that you've been working toward, and I like the idea that it provides for multi-sports, and I think it's definitely needed. I thank you for your consideration. It's been my pleasure to work with these other people.
Dean, could I ask you one question? What's the relationship between Portland Youth Soccer and the Oregon Youth Soccer Association?
Well, currently, the Oregon Youth Soccer has been our parent organization. Portland Youth Soccer has 10,000 members in the city of Portland. PCU, for example, is one of our clubs. So we provide recreational all the way through competitive. We also have a high school co-ed rec program, which is really strong. The Coley neighborhood has an amazing number of kids playing soccer. I looked up the demographics. Free and reduced lunches help us to understand if they need scholarships. It is our largest area going from Rose City north to south of families with free and reduced lunches. And we have to have these kids travel the furthest distances for practices and games because currently we have the least amount of soccer fields in this area.
And do you also sponsor any part of the rec soccer programs that Portland Parks and Rec is involved with?
They actually turned this program over to us about 10 to 12 years ago. Portland Parks does not have a soccer program.
So you run the recreational soccer programs in our parks?
That's right. I do all the leagues, assign and train all the referees. Yes.
I'm just curious how the system works. And how do you interface with Portland Parks and Rec in terms of scheduling spaces within city parkland?
We have a partnership relationship, and this is a positive partnership relationship. They provide us all of the permits. We have an agreement as far as there's a delegation of how sports work. So priority season for recreational soccer is in the fall. We receive the primary soccer fields for recreational for practice and games in the fall. Our secondary season is in the spring. Baseball, softball, t-ball, lacrosse receive permits prior to whatever's left in the spring we receive. We have enough fields for about 300 games, and we fill that every year. So we never have enough fields for all the desire.
But, for example, if the children in Cully Concordia were organized in either rec soccer or a club soccer program, this vision could become the home court for those kids.
Absolutely, and it is so needed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Rich Gunderson. I'm representing the Cully Neighbors Association. And first off, we want to thank Mayor Potter for going on a tour of our neighborhood and recognizing the need for the money to do a master plan and coming up with $95,000 to pay for this. Thank you. I also want to thank David Yamashita from the Park Bureau and the J.D. White Company for the inclusiveness of bringing the whole neighborhood together to have their input in this plan. The committee was made up of a diverse makeup of the community. In addition, the open house, or the charrette as they called it, an all-day Saturday program that brought people in to participate their ideas into the plan. And, you know, it was a difficult process in that we couldn't deal with it like you would any other normal plot of ground because it was on a landfill. It had its limitations, and it's demonstrated by this, no buildings. A 2-foot soil barrier makes a difficult limitation of how far down you can go, and it increases the cost when you do go through the barrier and want to put down pilings, which everything would have to be on pilings in order to put a building in there. So every time we did anything out of the ordinary, we drive up the cost, which reduces the ability to develop the park. We think this is a tremendous plan. It will be a tremendous asset to the neighborhood and also to the city in general. A 25-acre park with the view lines it has will be a tremendous asset, and we are hoping for consideration for future funding so we can develop it. Thank you.
Next three are Steve Pellegrini, Debbie Bischoff, and Clark Henry.
Is anybody after that?
That's all who signed up.
Hello. Clark Henry with the Bureau of Environmental Services Brownfield Program. We were able to make some of the money stretch a little farther by using our EPA grant money to provide a preliminary environmental assessment on the site based on the preliminary drawings, really to evaluate the risk that Commissioner Fisher was referencing with the methane potential risk to people using the site, any intrusion into bathrooms or any structures. The methane collection system and the cap and the vapor barrier are all very well-maintained, and right now there's no risk. We're not going to totally eliminate risk, but through the additional assessment work that we can also perform once technical drawings are available, make sure that all the appropriate work is taken to protect the public. And we've just been very excited to be a part of it right now, and hopefully we'll continue to be as it moves forward.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Council. Debbie Bischoff, Northeast District Planner for the Bureau of Planning. As you know, I've been spending a lot of time out in the Cully neighborhood in the past few years, and it's really great to see one of the community's top priorities beginning to be addressed. So that's wonderful. And when this park is funded and constructed, it really will move us a long ways toward, again, providing the recreation that's needed, as you've so heard from others speaking today. To echo Danita's comments, I'm pleased that the master plan includes interpretive signs and public art that reflects the sites and the area's cultural history. We heard comments during the Cully Concordia assessment process from NEA's Youth and Elders Council that they really wanted to see more this type of recognition and education in public facilities. So it's great that the master plan includes that. This large future park, as you know, is in the northern part of Cully neighborhood, and it will become a major attractor and catalyst for neighborhood improvement. The park site is close to an area that I hope to be working with the community in the next year, which is the Cully Main Street Commercial Opportunity Study. And I think there's a great opportunity here to plan for the future of the specific little area as it relates to the park and say, what are the supportive type uses that parks visitors and community members would like to see in this area? It could be a grocery store, it could be a sporting goods store, could be a medical office. Maybe, you know, they get injured while playing soccer, hopefully not. But other types of uses that could really, enliven this part of the Cully neighborhood. I want to also let you know that planning and parks and recreation that we've coordinated throughout this whole planning process, and we'll continue to do so as we try to address the needs of the Cully, the needs of the area. And the action plan, the assessment and action plan that I presented to you a few weeks ago, as you know, we've engaged a very diverse stakeholder group and constituency, and who is very interested and available for working with parks and recreation staff and others about bringing facility development and services like this to the Cully neighborhood. So I'm happy to at any time connect the two together as we move forward in addressing not only this particular park, but Sacagawea Park and other park needs in the Cully area. Finally, just on a related note, that I've been working and will continue to work with parks and Portland Public Schools to try to bring local serving recreational programming and shorter-term recreational opportunities to this area. And an example is Rigler School that has ball fields, but it's underutilized. So, and also Wellington Park behind Scott School is a resource that hopefully folks in southeastern part of Cully neighborhood could take better advantage of. So I'll be continuing to work on that with staff and the community. Thank you.
Thank you, Demi. Thanks.
That's all who signed up.
Okay. Is there anybody here who wishes to testify to this specific issue? Please call the vote.
Fish?
Well, this is an exciting moment. This is a master plan that I think is quite visionary, and it is an area of the city that desperately needs more parkland. But I'd like to just step back for a moment and acknowledge that we have really a historic opportunity to get it right here. We have the Colwood space, which this council has already acted on, and this council voted to maintain its open space designation. We have no control over what uses it will be put to, but I believe this council made an appropriate call in maintaining the open space designation. We have the Whitaker site, which we took up in connection recently with Debbie and others in connection with the Cully Concordia plan. The Whitaker site is also presents us with a unique opportunity to bring recreation, education, community centers, and other needs that the community has identified on that site. And now we have the Cully Park Master Plan. I see all three as working together to address this deficiency in open space and parkland in this part of our city. Of course, the only thing we're short on is the money. But what I'm convinced of today is that we have the will to figure that out and to move forward. As the proud parent of a daughter who's in youth soccer, I'm always struck by the fact that our friends in the suburban beltway are well ahead of us in understanding the need to invest in facilities. You go to any neighboring community from Gresham to Hillsboro to Beaverton, and when it comes to soccer, the children in those communities have A-plus facilities, and our kids don't. And what is, I think, conspicuous is that soccer is perhaps the number one sport in the world, and we call ourselves Soccer City, and we're home to a two-time national championship women's soccer team at UP. We are having serious discussions about bringing Major League Soccer here. We're home to Adidas and to Nike, and yet our facilities really are not world-class. I sometimes find myself being skeptical about the city investing in big monuments to itself, but there is, I think, no limit on my appetite for investing in our kids and our neighborhoods and when it comes to parks and recreational space. So you've given us a terrific blueprint for going forward, and I look forward to working with my colleagues to implement it. And I just want to take a minute to also acknowledge Mayor Potter's leadership on this, because it did take some funds to do the master planning. I want to acknowledge the stakeholders and Portland Parks and Rec staff who've worked to think, in my opinion, to come up with a very effective document and what looks to be a very healthy process. And I want to thank my colleague Dan Saltzman for his leadership as the commissioner in charge of this bureau that has brought us to this point. So I'm pleased to vote aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I want to thank, again, Mayor Potter for securing the funding for this master plan. You need the master plan before you can begin to develop the park, and now we have that. We need to maybe figure out a few options about access and parking, but, you know, nothing like a master plan to I think, facilitate ultimate funding to make this a reality. And I think, you know, I think all of us up here hope that will come sooner than later. It is a something we talk about now in the context of the Portland plan. It seems to be a phrase gaining a lot of favor is the 20-minute neighborhood, where we talk about being able to find a store, get a cup of coffee, whatever, within 20 minutes of where you live. Well, certainly being able to find a field to kick a ball around or to throw a ball, baseball, or to have your dog on an off-leash area is something that's very much part of that 20-minute neighborhood and is as essential to the Portland plan as it is essential, I think, to the Cully neighborhood and the tremendous park deficiencies that it currently has. This will go a long way towards solving that park deficiency, but again, as I think people testified earlier, it's not going to eliminate the deficiency issues in the Cully neighborhood, but it's going to go a long way towards it. So I appreciate the citizens that participated, Dave Yamashita for leading the effort, and I think we will take Debbie Bishop off on her suggestion to maybe cross-pollinate some of the citizens she's working with some of the citizens we're working with. If nothing else, to help build more supporters for getting this park built. And I think we're well on the way to doing that. So I'm pleased to vote aye.
Potter.
Well, I'm just so happy for the Cully neighborhood. These folks are nothing if they're not persistent. And I think in today's world, you have to be persistent. And so my compliments to them first, because I think they've sort of opened our eyes to what are the needs there in a way that we haven't seen in the past. And, you know, when I've walked around Cully, what's really impressed me were all the beautiful children. Cully is rich with children. And I think we would be remiss not to do everything we can to provide a park and opportunities for those children to play games and develop their skills and to have activities that can fill their lives with purpose and meaning and enjoyment. I think that this is an excellent first phase. When I first mentioned this to Zuri Santner, she was right on it and said, you know, this is a great idea. As we walked around Thomas Culley Park, and I really, really appreciate the leadership of Commissioner Salzman, Zuri, and the Parks Bureau. What I've seen from those folks, it's a labor of love. This isn't just about doing your job. It's about fulfilling a need for a community that has been underserved for some time. And because I won't be here to see the rest of it, I just encourage the council to try to develop the partnerships, to find the money as we accelerated the master plan to accelerate the development of the park, to make sure we have spaces for our future soccer and baseball stars to begin their careers. So thank you all for the work you've done. I vote aye. We're adjourned until 2 p.m. today.
Yeah, thank you, Tom.